Pastor Lou being with us this Sunday. What a blessing to see you all, to see him today, and to see you all. Amen. And let's welcome Pastor Lou. Glory to God. You have your mic, your wireless mic.
Everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Last time I came with a cart. Now I come with a machine gun. Huh? Remember I shared with you that I prayed for a young man that he had a real bad back problem and he was taking a lot of medication. And I prayed for him right after I had been healed. And he was, this is his cane. He no longer needs it, so he gave it to me. And I'm never going to need this forever, so I'm going to give it to someone else who may need it. Amen? The cane has no life. What has life is who gives it. Amen. You see, remember, God gives us instruments that we can use. He gives us cars. He gives us cabs. He gives us airplanes to do his work, to wherever we go. And so I'm here on his behalf, and Pastor Monette, I don't know. I think you were looking at my notes. I think you were looking at my notes because your prayer this morning was boom, 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 boom.
Amen.
Maybe I'll go more deeper into it, but I can tell you when. You can never do anything for God where he won't confirm it wherever you're going. And I have shared with you many times that your pastor, he must be reading my notes. I mean, when I get going here, she's already given half my message. But it's good. You know why? God wants it that way. I don't want it that way. She doesn't want it that way. We're just doing what he tells us to do or say. But it's he who wants it that way. And if he wants it that way, does he want it for just me or her? He wants us to give that to you so you can give it to somebody else. So before I get going this morning, because I can get going, Aida wants to share a few words, and I'll just have her come up real quickly.
Wanted to say thank you to everyone. My goodness, I am still reaping the benefits and the blessing of all the birthday gifts, and you know, it wasn't just the gifts that were given; it's the love that you extend toward us. You know, I just feel always so celebrated here, and so embraced and so loved, and so your generosity is above and beyond. It really it's not the norm. You know, I just want you to know that you have the gift of giving. This church has the gift of giving.
Absolutely.
And you, what you need to understand that is Christ in you, because he's the supreme giver. So, but I want to thank you, because we can make a decision not to or to. And you have made a decision to give love abundantly. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving love. And thank you for always making Lou and I feel like family, because we are family. But you make us feel like family. And so I just, from the bottom of my heart, I wanted to say thank you. And just to introduce Becky, you know, she's a student from China who's been living with us now for 1 year. She's a sophomore going to a high school that's maybe 5 minutes from our home. And so she is the fifth student that we have had live with us now for the last 4 years. Becky accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior about 3 months ago. In our home one evening, we were having some of the ladies, some of the sisters, and we were talking and sharing and praying. And actually, we were having communion, Pastor. And so she came, and we shared with her the power of communion. and what it meant, and the Holy Spirit would lead us to share Christ as Savior, and she received him. Her mom is a Christian, and I'm praying that her dad one day will be a Christian. And so our loss is that, you know, Lou and I are moving on in another season. We're transitioning into another season. So we put our house on the market. You know, we're selling our home, and we're moving out of the area, so Becky won't be living with us next year. But we're already praying for the family that she's going to be living with, because she's going to finish her high school years and then go on to college, the university, wherever she chooses. But anyway, I just wanted you to know who Becky is. She's your sister in Christ, right, from China, right. Now living in America. Thank you, and I bless all of you. Thank you.
I don't want anybody to worry. We're not moving out of the country.
No.
We're just moving from Orange County to possibly the corner of Orange County. But we are still going to be here and looking for that food. I'm going to put this down over here. And, you know, Aida said it all. You know, we can't thank you enough for all your prayers and how you treat us and what you've done for us. You know, I would never have dreamed I'd be where I am today. But as I was sharing with Pastor Burnett this morning, you know, you never know what God is going to allow in your life to show you a different part of himself. One of the greatest things that I have learned over the last 2 months is how great his grace is.
Yes.
And we were talking about how that verse means so much now. Yes. My grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
You see, sometimes we get so lost in the problem, right, that we forget about his grace. We think our problem is bigger than him. We think the problem is always going to be with us, and it's not. But his grace will always be with you.
Yes,
and his
you,
grace will give you strength.
Yes,
his grace will give you joy. His grace will make you want more of him.
That's right. Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes, that's right.
His grace, his generosity, his love, his compassion, all that he is will make you want more of him. As as I was studying these notes, coming up here, I was driving, and I'm looking up my notes, and he says, my God, I'll be lucky if I get just through the beginning to the notes, because I began to feel his grace, his presence. His presence. Without his presence, then what do we call ourselves Christians for? His presence has to be alive.
Amen.
He has to be real to us.
Amen.
And what I'm going to share with you this morning has to do with the spirit of discernment. You see, as a child of God, you're supposed to see things the world doesn't see. As a child of God, you should be understanding things that the world doesn't understand, because we are the messengers. We are the light that God has sent into the world. And if we're not doing that, then we're missing it. You see, that's why I say you were prepping me in your message. And, you know, I was thinking about our ministry when I first went through this. I remember the last time I was here, and I spent, I don't know how many, I don't even really remember how many days I spent in the hospital, because I have to ask my wife. Because I'll tell you the truth. I went through 8 days of hospital and the rehab. And I can tell you something. I don't remember everything that happened in those 16 days. But everybody kept saying, oh, you got this and you got that. And you got these things with your kidneys, and we got to take care of them. And I got to tell you, in the hospital, I was having a fun time. I felt great. Everybody's telling me, you look great. Of course I look great. It's because of my father. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because of your medication. It's because of God.
Yes.
It's because I trusted him.
Amen.
And I got to tell you something. You know, you look at it and you say, Father, what am I going to do? I don't want to stop. I don't want to sit down. I want to keep going. And he says, you're going to keep going.
Yes.
We had a prophet come in last week into our church. And she, and I wasn't even, people went up to be prayed for and everything. I wasn't even, I was just standing in the back because, you know, I run the ushers in the church. And so I'm sitting back telling them, you know, you go here, you go, you do what you got to do. And, you know, because when you're in, I might do a lot of things outside in different parts of the world, and I might do a lot of, bring a lot of salvations. But in my church, I do something. I do a part. I do my part. And I got to tell you, I'm standing here telling you that, Lord, I don't want to stop. And he's telling me in the prophet, the prophet called me forward. He says, you got a breakthrough anointing working on you now. And you're going to go to more nations that you haven't even thought of. And he says, I thank you for that. I receive that. I don't care to know where I'm going. I just want to know I'm going. God wouldn't be telling me I'm going somewhere if I'm not going to be here. See, you can listen to your doctors or you can listen to God. And the doctors haven't really been that bad. That just this week they told us that the lymph node that they said was growing, I hadn't taken any medication for that well over a month. 2 months, no treatment. And the lymph node went down. And the cancer went down. And so I'm going to sit there and I'm going to praise the doctor. Doctor's a good doctor. He knows what he's doing. He does his science. He did what, well, but my God. Yes. And that's what I love. Yes. My God. See, you can say the same thing. My God. Not your God. My God is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. We did a lot of things in our ministry that I didn't like to do. I had to cancel an entire trip with 5 people going, with airfares paid, everything. It was it's just something that I don't like to do. Never done it in 35 years of ministry. And this is the first. But it had to be done. And then we canceled Mexico. My grace is sufficient for you. Those people aren't going anywhere until I get there and do whatever God wants me to do there. I have to wait on him. He tells me not to go. I don't go. I am planning on going to Israel. I am planning on going to Israel, even if I have to take that cane with me. I am going to Israel. I'm going to God's country. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is the spirit of discernment and how important it is for each and every one of you to walk in that spirit of discernment. God already gave it to you. You already have it. If you have the spirit of God in you, you have the beginnings of the spirit of discernment. Because he already has given you everything you need to know about what this world looks like. Does anybody see the world changing? Yes. Does anybody think that the world is coming to an end? Not until God says. That could be 1 year. It could be 10 years. It could be 100 more years. But it is coming to an end. It's coming to its conclusion. You look, if you read the Bible, if you study the Bible, well, during this time of fasting and prayer, boy, if you ever want to hear from God, this is the time you will hear. Because we clutter ourselves with too much of the world, and we think, and sometimes as Christians, we think like the world. We don't think like God. They tell us to think one way. They say this is the way. And we go right along with it like nothing because it's tradition. Let me just look at some scriptures. Go with me to 1 John 4:1. And when you read this, read it. It's you, God talking to you. This is God speaking to you. In 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved," that's you, "believe not every spirit." You see, right among the church, there'll be all kinds of crazies coming in. This is why, you know, we don't think, sometimes we don't think that the pastors don't do much. Our pastors are our spiritual guideposts. They watch over your spirit. They watch over what you're listening to. Don't you think that if Pastor Monette had somebody here and he came in here telling you lies and wrong doctrine, she wouldn't tell you that? She put an end to it in an instant. That's what our pastors do. But then you, individually, can't just believe everything you hear. Even if it is a big name. Even if, they're on television. They've got to be right. No, that's been proven wrong 100 times over. Not everything you hear comes from God. And that's why you have to, that's why you must know and know that you know and have that spirit of discernment working in your life. Because when it's wrong, you're going to know. Your spirit is going to say, that don't sound right. And you have to do your homework. You have to get it right. If that person is wrong, it doesn't mean you kick the person out, because God said a lot of false teachers would come your way. Do we have false teachers today? Yeah. Oh, we got a ton of them. Because they're false teachers, you don't just throw them away. Because Jesus said, hang on to that which is good. Because even false teachers will give you good things. See, that's why you have to watch what the world says, because they'll say things that sound good, that sound right. I just heard and saw it on TV news, where the Pope brought in a Muslim priest, I guess, or imam, to pray in a Catholic church. And then the Pope declared that there's only one religion, that it's one God for everybody. This is the Pope. Now, is that correct? No. Now, you have a discerning spirit, you'll say, wait a minute, this guy is way off. Way off. Now, you can accept that, and it's because you have brethren, or you have family, or you have friends that are Catholic, and you don't want to break fellowship with them. Now, you do wrong in not telling them the truth. If you know the truth and you don't tell your Catholic brethren, I don't care who they are, that they're wrong in believing that that faith is for everybody. There's only one God, and they're, you know, that's it. It's the same God for everybody. No, that is incorrect. If my God doesn't have Jesus attached to it, the Bible calls it what? False. Or calls it, I'm forgetting the word. False doctrine. Forget. It just calls it, I almost got it back. But anyway, it's wrong. It is incorrect. It's an abomination, and it's never going to work, because if you let that person go from that point on, they're going to keep believing. Heard of Christians saying? I mean, even Christians who say they believe in Jesus, they don't look like they believe in Jesus. They don't even look like they believe in God. They don't look like they believe in Jesus. They don't look like they believe in anything. But yet they call themselves Christians. Hello? So, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Try means you investigate, you test, to make sure that what they're saying is correct. That is your responsibility. Even if Pastor Bonnet were to miss it, it is still your individual responsibility to know that what you're hearing is correct. She can miss it. I can miss it. A lot of people can miss it. Everything may sound right. Remember, the lie
with truth. You understand that? The devil in his lies always starts off with some truth. That's why you get a lot of these denominations like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They all start off with truth. But they move into the lie.
No wonder I couldn't hear. You could hear my foot perfectly well. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you. I was wondering why I was hearing my foot boom, 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 boom. And you were going like this, and I said, well, no, I don't do that. But it is our responsibility to watch for the word and make sure that you're getting it right and that you're doing it right and you're saying it right. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He says, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. And we have a large population moving into the prophetic. The prophetic had lost its power years ago because of false prophets. And now it's coming back, and it's coming back through his people, because now we understand that everybody can move prophetically. Every person in the church can move prophetically. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But he said he'd rather that we prophesy than speak in tongues. If you speak in tongues and you give interpretation, that's prophecy. So he's okay with that. But he'd rather than prophesy. Why? Because prophetic words, every time I share the word of God with you, I'm speaking to you prophetically. Because the word of God is prophetic. The entire word of God, if you share the word of God wherever you go, whether it be one scripture or a lot of scripture or read the one whole chapter, you are sharing the prophetic word of God. And the prophetic word of God has power. And that power gives you discernment about what you're reading. Because when you read it and intently you want to know the truth, you know the truth because it'll speak to your heart. It'll speak to your heart. It'll speak to your spirit. You'll know that it's right. But if you get something in there that it don't sound right, it don't sound right, it don't sound right, it's not right. In Philippians 1, 9 and 10, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He said, but I'm not supposed to judge. Oh, yes, you are. You're supposed to judge what you're hearing, whether it's good or bad for you. You don't just take everything you hear, right? When your kids come home and they're all excited about something they heard, and you got to judge what they're telling you, don't you? Because you got to know what they're getting is right or wrong. When you hear the word of God or you read the word of God, you got to do the same thing for yourself. You've got to receive it, and you've got to judge what you're hearing, what you're seeing. See, we're going through this world blindly like nothing's going on. And there's a lot going on, brothers and sisters, that we are supposed to be taking place in. We're supposed to be doing something in the middle of all that you're seeing and hearing. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the moment that you start listening to the world, and you start listening to the politicians, and you start hearing to some of these great professors and these great college professors, and you start listening to their philosophies and their ways, and they say, this is good for our country, this is good for our children. Now, if you thought that was good, how many of you thought that college was a great thing for our kids 20 years ago or 30 years ago? I mean, you sent your kid off to college knowing that he was going to get a good education and he was going to get good training for how to live life and how to do these things. Check with a kid today. What do you see on TV? What do you see on TV taking place? Anti-God. Anti-God. Anti-establishment. Anti-this. Anti-good. They know everything about abortion. They know everything about killing people. They know everything about hating people. They know everything about racism. They know everything that is against what God wants. And you think if you send your kid off to college, brothers and sisters, those of you who have children still in that young, very young age, find those Christian schools because they're going to be big. The time is coming where Christian schools will be bigger and bigger and better and better. We have a sister that we know. She has a Christian school for age five to end of junior high. End of junior high, and she doesn't charge a dime. And she has 110 students. And it all gets paid by offerings and donations. That's a lady. And I told her. He says, why don't you charge $100 at least? You got some income coming in, $100. She said, no, God told me no. I gave a donation anyway. But, I mean, you've got to believe that was God that told her to do that. Many Christian schools today, they have to do. Well, of course, she has to do curriculums for the state to maintain it as a school. But what a curriculum. When we went there one day for a Christmas program, and those kids were praising God and worshiping God and speaking in tongues. Kids! And prophesying and laying hands on the sick. Man, I'm telling you, when you see a school like that, you want to get behind. You want to get behind a school like that. That's what you got to discern. You just can't decide, well, that's a good school. It may be a good school, but the education they're getting in it is terrible. It's not about them teaching them the word. They're not going to teach them the word. They're going to teach them all the things that are negative and against God. I'm not saying your children shouldn't get an education, but fine, a good. There are good Christian colleges out there. And that's no guarantee that they're going to follow Christ. We know that. But that gives them a better chance of them finding God than finding it at UCLA or USC. And these are all great schools. And you got junior colleges that are still good schools. But you got to discern what your child is getting. You have to discern that. You have to find out what your child is hearing and what you're hearing and what you're listening to and what you're watching. Because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're not going to get it. That's why when you try to share Jesus with somebody that doesn't know Jesus, they look at you like you're crazy. I mean, I remember sometimes when people, you know, they say, well, don't you want to be happy? And they look at the person who is sharing them, and he don't look happy at all. Don't you want to be like me? I'm happy. You don't look happy. Because we should be different. Our voice should sound different. Our love should be different. Our compassion should be different. Our care should be different. You know, when we hear about all these disasters, I'm telling you, that's why I support the Franklin Graham Ministry. They are the first on the line. They don't have to go out and, we've got to put it on the news. No, they got their own line of getting the news out. They're there before anybody even knows it. We, the church, should be the first one there, not the last one there. You see, you tell Christians, let's go help these people there. Nah, I don't have time. You know, I got to work. You see, work has become more important. See, Pastor Monette says, let's get together for prayer 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Oh, we're going to be there, Pastor. And 3 people show up. But your boss says, be here at 7 in the morning because you have to. Your job depends on it. You'll be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. 100% will be there. Not 3%, but 100% will be there on time. Why is that? Because you have put the ways of the world before God, the ways of God. How many times have I heard somebody telling me, oh, Pastor Lou, I got so blessed. I was looking for a job. Man, what a job I got. Oh, but the only problem is I got to work Sundays. What kind of blessing is that? God wants a, where was Jesus on Sabbath? Where would you find Jesus on Sabbath? In the synagogue. In church. Isn't that a good example? What his priorities are? So you tell me that that was a blessing, that you got this job, that you got to work on Sunday. And then on top of that, you can't come to prayer on Wednesday because you're so tired. And that's a blessing? No, that's a curse. You might think it's a blessing because you're getting money. But that blessing is a curse. Because when anything that keeps you away from God is going to separate you more and more and more and more. Try to stay away from your son or your daughter that way. Huh? Try to stay away from your son or daughter who's a young one and you don't see him for a week or 2 or 3, or you don't spend time with them because you don't have time. You're too busy. And see what would happen to your relationship with them. And you don't think that's a relationship that would happen with your father? Thank God. Thank God that he still loves us. Even when we don't look for him, even when we don't search for him, even when we're not crying out to him, he says, I still love you. Remember that. I still love you. I don't care how much you hurt. I don't care how much you scream. I don't care how much you yell. I don't care how much you do it wrong. I still love you. You know what? That's so good because that means his door is always open. You know, like sometimes the door closes behind you? Now we're God. It'll close with your boss, that guy that gave you